Good evening, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all to Ragamuffin. Tonight, we invite all of our listeners to sample a brand new music program entitled The Musical Diaries of a Wayfaring Stranger, featuring my old pal Miscreant Mike in Where the Anemones Come Out to Play, a recorded break in his beloved Isle of Wight. Come on now, stay a while, relax back in a comfortable chair, and welcome to Ragamuffin. Time I got away, Robert was back at school for a month after 25 weeks away, and I was confident I could keep him there. So I took up Vic's invitation to slip across the sea to my diamond white island and leave the world behind. It was the week of Ride Art Festival and the 4th of July. A mishap of ferry timings meant I took the catamaran to Ride Pier and just hung around, missing Brian Hinton's book signing. His latest tome is about the last four island festivals. Word was Susan Vega was in tow after a gig in Ride on Sunday night, and word was that the local rock hierarchy looking after Miss Vega had taken her bowling. Bowling? Did I miss something? Isn't there one of the most stunning sights this side of the ditch for Miss Vega to visit? Namely, by Tennyson Down and all the history of around Freshwater. She would have flipped one to have seen it. But then, I wasn't her tour guide, and I guess some folks just settle on the bowling.
I'll never be your Maggie May, the one you loved and left behind. The face you see in light of day, then you cast away. That isn't me in that bed you'll find. I'd rather take myself away, be like those ladies in Japan. I'd rather paint myself a face, conjure up some grace, or be the eyes behind a fan. But that will change from day to night. Would you ever see within, underneath the skin? Could I believe you had that sight? Da 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 your Maggie Mae. The one you loved and then forgot. I love you first and let you go, 'cause it must be so. You forgive or you will not. And so a woman leaves a man, and so the world turns on its end. So I'll see your face in dreams, when nothing's what it seems. Still you appear some kind of friend.
First stop on Monday was Jeff Lewis's Record and Book Emporium in the Victorian Arcade, halfway up Union Street. I asked Jeff if he had any Tom Rapp or Pearls Before Swine, and he turned up two rare as Rockin' Horse Doodah albums that I just didn't have, Uses of Ashes and City of Gold. We cut a deal, and I picked them up on Friday. You don't pass up on Rapp's haunting melancholy lightly, you know, particularly as one album has Rocket Man on it, the one that inspired the Bernie Taupin and Elton John version. Darn good start to the week, if you ask me.
She packed my bags last night, pre-flight, 0 hour, 9 a.m. And I'm gonna be high, yeah, as a kite by then. I miss the earth so much, and I miss my wife. It's lonely here in space on such a timeless, such a timeless flight. And I think it's gonna be a long, long time till touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man I think I am. Know it all, I'm a rocket man. Rocket man burning out his fuse out here alone. Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kids. In fact, it's cold as hell, and there's no one there to raise them. If you did, yeah, and all this science, and I don't understand. It's just my job 5 days a week. Touchdown brings me round again to find I'm not the man I think I am. Know it all, I'm a rocket man, baby. and I think it's gonna be. It's gonna be a long, long, long time.
Well, Vic and I met up in Joe DeFlo's Wine and Chintzy Cafe, where we picked the cheapest pasta on the menu and shot the breeze. Then it was a short step across the road to help set up the Freewheelin' Band Dylan tribute. Our partner Pete was there, and partner Becky, who would be Scarlet Riviera tonight, Loris Valvona's brother, Rick. He died of cancer about 5 years ago and had always wanted to raise money for the hospice. So Becky, Phil and John from the Tin Lids joined Colin, Tackle Smith, the Mechanics' old drummer with Loris, and they wang the walls all night. Jeff Lewis turned up in his cowboy hat, he the instigator of the infamous red rocking chair tape scam, which fooled the likes of Barney Hoskins and many of those Dylanologists about the existence of a session live at the Crab and Lobster in Bembridge with Dylan and the band. The evening raised over £200 for the hospice, and I penned a 5-line ditty for the Beer Mat Bard competition. This one was just for Rick Valvona. Dirty chords, scruffy jeans, Mr. Dylan alive and well, voice like barbed wire shot to hell, cellar bar, Mississippi moons, raising money and stonking tunes.
His hands are clean, and you're the best thing that he's ever seen. Stay, lady, stay. Stay with your man a while. Why wait any longer for the world to begin? You can have your cake and eat it too. Why wait any longer for the one you love when he's standing in front of you?
Lay, lady, lay.
lay across my big brass bed. Stay, lady, stay. Stay while the night is still ahead. I long to see you in the morning light. I long to reach for you in the night. Stay, lady, stay. Stay while the night is still ahead.
By various combinations of bus and taxi, Vic and I made it back to Knighton and Palmer's Forge Cottage just before midnight. Looked up at the stars set in the jet black sky out there and put the cocoa on. Listened to Irish music till our eyes started to shut in preparation for my escaped plan to the west coast of Clare. I settled down on the sofa. That's been my refuge now for these past 16 years.
Sorrow and sadness, bitterness, grief, memories I have of you won't leave me in. The times we had there. Vivid memories
Tuesday, July the 5th, 2005. Vic was up by 6:45, and we had breakfast, playing more music and talking about Ireland. Vic left for work at 7:45. I fixed his new computer so the email would work and took off for Ventnor down the coast to visit the library. Ventnor houses the musical collection for the island, and I looked up for Gus Cannon for a poem I was writing for Johnny Grimshaw. Ventnor now is like an Edwardian edifice left over from colonial times, a tiny seaside town that time forgot. I bought some fresh cherries off the greengrocer. He was telling a customer that a lady had just come in and complained he didn't have a certain fruit. I told her, he said, it's out of season. Well, she said, they've got it in the supermarket. I went down the zigzag road to the promenade, twinned with that street in San Francisco, and took coffee at the Spyglass Inn, set above the rocks and the beach. It's a place of warmth and precious memories for me, and the setting for a novel I've yet to get mapped down. Then I walked along the tortuous and strange cliff path to St. Lawrence, intending to walk back to Knighton, a distance of probably 4 or 5 miles, I should think. I was clearing my head and checking out the settings of my story set just after the Second World War. To do with a dying airman being treated at an isolation hospital and a young woman made pregnant by an American serviceman who never returns. As I walked through glades of the now cleared sight, a woman appeared as though a ghost and smiled at me. It had started to rain, and she put up her umbrella as she passed. I took her, in my mind, for my heroine. When finally I got back to Knighton, walked the long road through the overhanging trees of the undercliff, the heavens opened, and I finally made it to Vic's local post office, where the bacon sandwiches with salad and a coffee went down a complete treat. That afternoon, I made my first of several visits to check on Vic's mum, who can be expected filled me with biscuits and hot and Vitamin tea. She told me the story of the hairdresser doing her hair when the local plumber turned up to fix her stiff faucet. He took a hammer to the jam tap on the pipe and the entire room filled with water. My hairdresser to this day, she said, has never got over the shock. And she laughs. Vic and I spent the evening playing more music and talking about Ireland. Well, you know, he's an expert in this after all.
Fare thee well to Dunneen, fare thee well far awhile. And to all the kind neighbours I'll be leaving behind, to the crossroads and sand hills where lately I've been, and the high rocky slopes on the cliffs of Dunneen. How pleasant to ramble on a fine summer's day, where the apples and cherries will never decay, where the hare and the rabbit are plain to be seen, making homes for their young round the cliffs of Dunneen. Take a view o'er the Shannon, strange sights you'll see there. You'll see high rocky mountains on the west coast of Clare, where the towns of Kilrush and Kilkee can be seen. From the high rocky slopes on the cliffs of Dunneen, fare thee well to Dunneen. I must leave you once more, and though we are parted by the raging sea's roar, once again I will wander with my Irish colleen, down the high rocky slopes on the cliffs of Dooming.
Wednesday, July the 6th, 2005. Mrs. King had wanted 3 carrots from the local shop, and I took these down with a surprise lottery ticket, and we shot the breeze over tea and biscuits again about Vic's late father and Vic's landlady, who is now old and frail. The worry is Vic will have to move out of Palmer's Forge, this delightful one-bedroomed old cottage which has been, when Vic was a baby, a fishmonger shop. That cracks me right up, you know. I took off back to Vic's for 11 to meet his friends Tony and Jeff, a pair of lovely guys, almost out of Last of the Summer Wine, and regaled them with the complete story of the legendary pier-diving Gadsby's. Now, that's what Vic and I've been trailing, and you know, they lapped it up. Having applied for a free course in playwriting at the Nuffield Theatre in Southampton and spoken to the artistic director, I've decided I'm going to write my Great Gadsby piece as a play. I left the boys to settle back into a night and afternoon and took off for Shanklin, up the coast in search of Noel, who had been rumoured had known daredevil Leslie Gadsby during his time when he was working off of Shanklin Pier. Noel, an affable Irishman, ran a sandwich shop in the High Street, and it turned out he didn't know daredevil Les, but his successor, Jimbo Henry — Henry was also an Irishman, and Noel told me Jim Henry did the long dive off the cliff, would you believe, in the film The Guns of Navarone. That was blinking priceless, wasn't it? Thank you. From an old sandwich shop, I got on the bus again and dropped off when the bus ended up in Oakfield, where my mum was born. I looked in at Poet's Cottage, but the Grimshaws weren't back at home, so I walked up to the Commodore Cinema and cut through to where the art caravan was set up in front of Somerville Supermarket. Here I met two lovely ladies whose turn it was to display their art for the festival. Now, Carol was a potter, and Kate was creating pictures from hot wax. So I penned two more beer mat barred entries. Here's the first. The caravan is on its way. They were hapless men trying to keep afloat, weathering the storm in various boats. I saw birds in the potter's trees and a busty Madonna pulling out to sea. It was art in a caravan, just for you and for me. The caravan is on its way, part two. The Tempest was reminiscent of Blake. It was revelation to the vicar from Lake. The hot wax set the mind alight, underwater stars, and shore at night, when the anemones came out to play. Then ahead of Vic, I got the Yelf Cellar Bar to help Jake and his mum set up a rather, or rather distract him, what he sound checked is a wine lap steel, banjo, guitar, accordions, and tiny Farfisa fairground organ, and set up his unique one-man show. Vic and I went on the cheap tagliatelle again, and the evening went down a storm with another audience, shoehorned into the cellar bar. If you think of Vivian Stanzel, Neil Innes of the Bonza Doodah Band, had a twist of Monty Python and Goonery, think Tony Hancock and the Punch and Judy Man, and you'll just have a fragment taste of Jake's show. He did this corking song called The Man in the Moon, a melancholy song played on a guitar while his mum, behind a screen, moved the card figures, cut straight out of early George Melly films. The audience participation, pantomime clothes and daft songs contrasted this gorgeous stuff-like man in the moon and shore-kissing the shingle. And I penned another beer mat, barred in his homage. How's this for Jake Rodriguez? The song and dance man's come to town, happy-go-lucky with tears of a clown. Doo-dah, da-da, magic lantern things, silver things clatter upon steely strings, and gingerbread angels with tiny wings. That's Jake Rodriguez. We'll be right back. The evening was made perfect by the appearance of Kim and Johnny Grimshaw with JC, Angelina and Paul Armfield and my hug-me-dark pal Steve Stubbins. It was Kim's birthday and I wrote her a poem and gave her some chocolates and she gave me a big kiss and a hug. Vic and I went home to the jet black starlit skies of Knighton and the music and cocoa went down a treat once again. July 7th, 2005. Today was the Poetry Open Mic Night and I set myself up for it with a bus ride to the far western tip of my diamond white island. I phoned my octogenarian friend Elizabeth Hutchins. She's now living in a beautiful place on Freshwater Bay, an 8-bedroomed house she's bought with her son. She phones me back on the bus and tells me that she'll put dinner back so we could share dinner together and I could walk her Tennyson. I caught the open top bus on Freshwater Bay and went to the top of my world and took one of those long, beautiful walks where I could clear my head of all that had been going on. An hour and a half later, and there was I knocking the conservatory on the door at Elizabeth's annex, head and heart fully cleared and mended. After dinner, a boiled ham, pasta and salad, followed by banana sprinkled with cocoa dust and cream. Elizabeth let me sleep while she read a long article about Tennyson. Well, you see, the Virginia Woolf Society are due to visit Farringford next week, and Elizabeth, bless her, is giving them a talk, and they're performing Freshwater, the spoof about Woolf's great aunt, Tennyson's photographer, Julia Margaret Cameron.
The other interesting book which I purchased last time I was here was Fenwick Yellow Headley's.
Now that is really very interesting, because it was a book published in 1884 by my great-grandfather's nephew called Fenwick Yellow Lee Headley, and he was actually in the American Civil War, and he's published this great big book. And this Fenwick Yellow Lee was, I mean, he owned the newspaper in Bunker Hill and also shot the mayor of Bunker Hill over a young lady who eventually he actually married. Yeah. But he was a very famous person in Bunker Hill.
Morning, I bid New Orleans adieu, and I took the road for Jackson Town, my fortunes to renew. I cursed all foreign money, no credit could I gain, and it set my heart a longing for the lakes upon Pontchartrain. I stepped on board the railroad car beneath the morning sun, and I rode the rods till evening, then I laid me down again. All strangers there, no friends to me, till a dark girl's waltz became, and I fell in love with a Creole girl and the lakes of Pontchartrain. I said, my pretty Creole girl, mere money is no good. If it weren't for the alligators, I'd sleep out in the wood. You're welcome here, kind stranger, though our house is very plain, and we never turn a stranger out by the lakes on your train. If she'd that she would wait for him, and true she would remain till he returned to his Creole girl and the lakes on the train. So fare thee well, my pretty old girl, I'll never may see you more. I'll never forget your kindness in the cottage by the shore, and at each social gathering a flowing glass I'll drain.
Elizabeth walked me to the bus stop, and I took the bus out along the military road, cut through Broadstone and Shorewell into Newport, and finally to Ryde. And Vic and I met up again at Joe DeFlo's for the time-honoured cheapest pasta on the menu. Then we went across the road and met Eric and his wife, who was in charge of the open mic. Again, you know, it was a wonderful evening. Glenn joined us from across the water and read three poems, including Her Marvellous Caustic National Health Disease, and shared a table with the local poets. I helped on the door and read three poems. They were The Vicar of Swaydling, You, Me and Tennyson, and The Great Gadsby's, about the daredevil peer-diving family. I penned two beer mat bards that night. One was for Sophie Jeffries, who's lost her job as organiser of the Rides Art Festival, as the development money has finally run out. For Sophie Jeffrey. Sophie Jeffrey said goodbye after five festivals for Ride, at the helm for four great years. Well, there was a lot of hand clapping and she shed a few tears. Pints and poems. Let the poem put pen to beer mat, Eric cried, sipping a pint between his lines. Cherish the poet, Foles cried. There were many great orcs till the last one died.
Devil's yard, had luck in bad times. Don't hold no charge for me. I'm getting drunk on milk and honey, and I'm going back to my used to be. Won't you bring your sweet self, honey? There's nothing quite as mean than people packing problems. We're a heart attack machine, hard work and worry. Just buys a box of pine. But if you come for wine and kisses, you'll always be a
when the only heart they needed comes with sweet old kiss and blues. When the only heart they needed comes with sweet old kiss and blues. If you want a good crop growing, better plant some good old seeds for deaf and travelers along every road. Yeah, now, but what the reaper's reaping is only what the reaper sowed. Won't you bring your sweet top honey? Kiss and blues.
Another cracking night. While Glenn went back to the mainland, Vic and I went home to Knighton. Under a sky obscured by clouds, with more cocoa and music to keep us sane. Vic promising to have a night in tonight, and me ending up on Friday, going back and picking up those two Tom Rapp and the Pearls Before Swine albums, before coming home to recharge the batteries of my phone. With head and heart in place for that trip to Ireland, where I'll pen all the letters I need to send to various folks who may be worried about the man with a pocket full of chalk from Tennyson. By then, my Laura will have graduated from Roehampton, July 22nd, and the boy chasing rainbows, well, he'll be home for the summer. On the pier, I bump into Roland Jones, back from California, where after blagging an unofficial tour with the Wayward Sons, well, they told customs they were taking guitars to a wedding. He had married a school teacher in Los Angeles and now had a son. We were both sad I was leaving the island and he was here, but at least we'll catch up on email at some point. That boy's music is etched right deep in this special place that I keep in my heart. I lead a charmed life, I know. I know I do. You have been listening to Ragamuffin Radio, the musical diaries of a wayfaring stranger, featuring my old pal Miscreant Mike in Where the Anemones Come Out to Play, a recorded break in his beloved Isle of Wight. We've enjoyed your company. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, take good care now. Good night, and a safe journey to you all.